RON, of which the Department of Arts and Culture contributed RON 4 million, for which we were very grateful, but the rest was recruited from private sector. And then we raised funds for and established a research trust. We believe that the government have other priorities, and therefore if we want to do research trust about Afrikaner and Afrikaans-related subjects, we must also accept the responsibility that we must raise funds for that. The areas under control of the Voortrekker Monument include the Voortrekker Monument of Pretoria, Fort Skanskop, which we bought from the City Council of Pretoria, Bladsover and Kerkenberg in the Free State. The areas under control of the Heritage Foundation is Blokrans in KZN, Mafeking concentration camps, in fact there are three of them in northwestern province, Donnytown Plinth at northwest Gauteng. I'm not always sure exactly which side of the border it falls there, because it's been an area actively contested. The Orange River campsite, Northern Cape, Louis Trichardt Memorial Garden in Maputo. We do that through the Louis Trichardt Association, which is one of the non-declared institutions that might not get any grant this year. And then the President Paul Kruger Residence at Boekenhoutfontein in Northwest. We do that through the President Paul Kruger Trust, of which I'm the chairman. It's also an undeclared institution. I refer to the cooperation with government institutions. May I point out the following? First, we've had a service delivery contract with the Free State Sports, Arts, Culture and Recreation. We had to raise RON 3 million last year to implement a short-term intervention plan at Nulland, the Nationale Afrikaanse Letterkundige Museum and NAFOS Centrum. Phase 1 was successfully completed. We are now awaiting the Minister, the MEC's approval of Phase 2 so that we can proceed with that, which would entail the spending of another 1 million rand from private sources at the institution. A very urgent, outstanding matter, which I would just like to put new ears now, is a proposal that Nulland be repositioned at national level under DAC. We have already approached the minister about this quite some time ago. Last year in November, he wrote a letter to me to say that the museum...
Sorry, there's Sarah outside, ne?
Sarah's still...
I think some of the things... Can you call Sarah? Sorry, call this. Just hold it, because they are outside.
Okay. I will come back to that then. In the meantime, I can talk about the Voortrekker Museum, Peter Maritzburg, where we supply three members to serve on the present board of the museum. I also served on the board there for 6 years, two consecutive periods. We've cooperated with the Sotho Language Museum in various ways. We've provided training for certain staff members of the Apartheid and the Hector Peterson Museums. And then we've also agreed to act as a mentor for the Greek community in respect of the Lotto Fund application. They want to build a community center, and we have assisted them in this regard.
Thank you. Morning, Chairperson of SARA, Dr. Fikeni and Ms. Ndame. I know it was not your time yet, but because we've got Major General Opperman here, who was presenting some of the issues, and some of you are affected somehow, I thought it's important to also come and listen, maybe, and yeah, he was still presenting. So when I saw your name, SARA, on some of the issues you are involved, we'll continue, we'll do other issues later. We'll just give him to finish, and then, yeah, because Okay, can continue.
Yeah, thank you. I'll come back to this point where I mentioned I was speaking about the Heritage Foundation support to government institutions as service provider. Then I referred to the memorandum of agreement that we have with SARA, and we have been appointed to take care and take care of the maintenance and repairs of all concentration camp cemeteries, burger graves, and also the prison of war graves, and certain selected South African Anglo Boer War battle graves. We have been funded to do this by the DSC through SARA, and I would like to say that we've got very amicable relations with SARA, and I'm very grateful that the CEO of SARA can sit next to me, because the later day I wanted to present to her, and I may do it to you now, the feedback on all the cemeteries that we have repaired and maintained since we've entered into this contract. So she can have a look at that at the later stage. But I think it gives you an idea of the sort of very amicable relationship that exists, and also the fact that it's a privilege and an honor for us to work with government institutions who accept us as such. We can bring to the party some expertise, experience, and a very focused attention to things that are very great emotional value to members of our constituency. And I think the fact that they can see progress funded through SARA with the support of SARA has made a lot for the emotional experience of what SARA is doing for the community in that regard. That is, in fact, all I'm going to say about SARA, but I'm glad that they are here, that they can also hear the testimony that I've heard about them. If I may just come back about the main purpose of today's discussion, that's the details of the institutions not declared in terms of the Cultural Institutions Act. Chair, I know you are all aware about the declaration of institutions in terms of the Cultural Institutions Act. Six of these institutions have thus far been subsidized by the Department of Arts and Culture without being declared, so-called non-declared institutions. They include the Voortrekker Monument. We expected at least 1.9 million rand in July this year, but we have not yet received anything. The Vechkop Museum near Heilbronn, they have lost, their last grant was 50,000 rand per year, and they've had their grant outstanding now for 5 years. So they haven't received anything for 5 years. The Hoogenhout Monument, Frans Hoek, they received 110,000 rand last year, but they've got 2 other years outstanding before then. The Louis Trichardt Association, we are up to date until last year due to a longer-term MOU that we have had with the department that have, may also now have expired, I'm not sure about that, but we received 31,000 rand last year. I'm also the chairman of this association. The 1820 Settlers Foundation, Grahamstown, they expected 2.8 million rand in 2011, but they have not yet informally, they have not yet been formally informed about the new situation, according to what they tell me. And then the Bindonay Cultural Centre, Western Cape, I'm not sure what the amount is, but they have not received anything for the past 5 years. If you look at the situation of the Voortrekker Monument, it's true that we have had an MOU with the department for the last 3 years, and that has now expired. But the precedent exists that since 1993, we have been funded annually by the Department of Arts and Culture. You can see the various amounts there. It stayed the same from 1993 until 2002, but then through the intervention of Dr. Ben Ngubane, then minister, it was increased to 1.3 million rand. And from that year onwards, it was incrementally increased every year. Last year, we received 1.853 on the 27th of July. That was my birthday. That's why I remember it so well. And this year, unfortunately, my birthday passed without any grant. And we have been informed in a letter that I received on the 25th of October that the department has been able to get 1 million rand for us together, but not the 1.9 that we have been expecting. We have received no grant for Blood River, which is on the other side of Normie in KZN, and this is perhaps also a good comparison of what the disadvantaged position is that we are trying to defend at this stage. The effect of the grant decision, read the Voortrekker Monument in particular, is that we have to cut back on certain essential functions and activities. We have to stop or suspend essential repair and maintenance projects already long overdue and in critical state. Now, we are a young but old facility, more than 60 years old. We have to place a moratorium on new appointments to replace natural attrition, people who resign, die, etc. And we already have a critical situation where we are extremely understaffed and underpaid. Our staff get, on average, about a third of the salary that the employees at the declared institutions get. And obviously we will have to consider retrenchments as a last resort, and the poorest will be most affected because we have very limited number of scientifically qualified professional staff. So if we have to cut, we have to cut in the non-essential services. It is a big problem for us from a financing point of view, but also from a cash flow point of view. Obviously, if we don't get the grant, we must pay interest at the bank. And that makes our situation more grave by the day. And unless we can resolve the situation soon, we might find ourselves in an untenable situation. Chair, I've come with a recommended solution, which we have not yet discussed with the department, but which I think will have could possibly help us to go forward. Firstly, I would like to ask that the full grant to the Voortrekker Monument and, as far as possible, the other non-declared institutions must be reinstated until a more permanent solution could be found. I think I would suggest that the older outstanding amounts be written off, because to try and debate now about what happened 5 or 4 or 3 or 2 years ago would be senseless, and they have survived until now. But at the moment, not getting the grant this year is causing extreme hardship and could be fatal for some of these organizations. I would like to propose that we immediately start negotiating with DAC the possible declaration of the Heritage Foundation as a cultural institution, and also how other non-declared institutions could be accommodated in this process. I, in fact, had discussions with the previous DG, Mr. Wakashi, last year, and he agreed to this in principle, that there should be a bigger role for the Heritage Foundation to assist the DAC as far as the management and the financing of the other non-declared institutions concerned. And we are willing to do that, but we will have to be empowered to do that, because at this moment we are not capacitated to do it. And then as soon as we have reached a negotiated proposal with DAC, we can submit that to the Board of Directors of the Heritage Foundation and other non-declared institutions for their consideration. If and as soon as the Heritage Foundation is declared a cultural institution, we propose that a new funding structure must, based on the annual grant to the Heritage Foundation, must be implemented. Other relevant non-declared institutions to be catered for as part of the Heritage Foundation budget, so they need not be necessary to have a separate budget for them, which might make it more awkward for the for DAC. We'd also like to suggest that the other institutions that could possibly be put under control of the declared Heritage Foundation, if adequately empowered to do so, could even be considered, because we can play a bigger role. It could even be possible for the Heritage Foundation to play a role as far as the repositioning of Nolan on a national level is concerned. Since we have been involved in phase 2-1 and now phase 2 of the short-term intervention plan, and we have the support of about 70 different organizations to this effect. I would also say that I think it's true, you cannot expect to have your bread buttered on both sides. If the Voortrekker Monument does not opt to become a declared institution, that the annual grant to the Voortrekker Monument should cease the moment the Heritage Foundation is declared and starts getting a grant. It could be a rechannelizing of the grant going to the Voortrekker Monument instead going to the Heritage Foundation. I think this could help the DAC out of a difficult situation as well. And I would like to suggest, Chair, that the situation of the 1820 Settlers Foundation should be considered separately, because the other five are all belonging to the same sort of community support base, but the Heritage, the 1820 Settlers Foundation is, it's obviously, it commemorates the 1820 English settlers, and I think they have a different nature geographically, but also as far as their history is concerned. Chair, I've deliberately went through this very rapidly so that if there's time available, people could possibly ask, members could ask questions, but that is in essence what I would like to propose. May I just say that the Deputy President recently visited us. He reacted very favorably to what he saw and what he heard at the monument, and he also said that he was of the opinion that a solution should be found so that the department could help the Voortrekker Monument and the Heritage Foundation to reach a stage where they would have sustainable and viable economic situation. I have received feedback from Mr. Ndima, but since he's here now, I will not speak on his behalf, but we are still talking to the department. I appreciate the fact that you've invited me to, at such short notice, to be here, and I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to address you on this matter.
Thank you, Major General, and thank you also for the, I would say for now, for the awareness or what that we have given us, because we're not really aware what was happening. I know the Deputy President is very passionate about the monument, especially the, what you call it, the end route between Freedom Park and what's that monument. He wants that bridge. Every time we meet him, he's asking, when is this bridge being built? Because he believes that it closes our gaps in history. It's sort of unity from our past and the other past. It unites South Africans. But also, we believe that if you're at Freedom Park, you must just cross over to the Fort Drakkar Monument. But I will definitely ask, allow members to ask questions, but also allow Mr. Ndima and Mr. Jogweni from the department to say anything. I know it's not something that we can have a solution on now. It will go beyond the portfolio committee. At least we are aware what is happening in those cultural institutions. Also, the people who declare the sites, Sarah, are here. Members, I'll allow you to ask questions, clarifications, committee recommendations, comments. Honorable Duncan, Honorable Nchikela, Honorable Moss, Honorable Mshwana. Okay, Honorable Duncan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to say thank you for Mr. Opperman that he did came and brought us this presentation. And I'm also very glad that the department, in fact, is here today. I want to say something very positive because I also liked what Mr. Opperman said, that one do not wish to have your bread buttered both sides. But irrespective of that, maybe just to tell Mr. Opperman, Chairperson, that in the new growth path presentation that's being presented to us from the department, there's a particular phrase in that I think this is where we should go. And that is, the department wants to make a contribution to the creation of jobs, 5 million jobs, which the government is focusing on over the period of 10 years. And in that phrase, they say that they would like to begin with social dialogue with stakeholders, and I would want to believe that the Fort Drakkar Monument and all the other non-declared institutions is going to play a vital and important role with regard to that social dialogue. And there we can again re-emphasize, Jefferson, the need for not allowing our heritage to degrade, to be degraded, and to be deteriorating. So I just want to, from my side as a member of the portfolio, just recommit myself in this portfolio committee that we will definitely look at, in particular, the recommendations and the solutions that you brought here today, which I feel is something that is a starting point for dialogue, and that we will surely support the idea of communicating and see how we can ensure that funds are made available. And lastly, Chairperson, I have also, maybe just to highlight to Mr. Opperman, that I have highlighted to the minister as well as the department the importance of tourism, the department tourism, because I would want to believe that these heritage sites are the destinations that is needed for tourism again to be able to contribute to the GDP of the country. So more so, even tourism need to come to the table when it comes to financing and where we can ensure that our heritage in its totality are looked after. So maybe just that much. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chikala.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Jangala. On some of the major achievements, on your page 2, established the Heritage Foundation and Research Trust in Flow 2 and managed them until the 1st August 2011. I am just hoping that you will be having, you know, outlined major challenges that you could probably pinpoint and some of the successes during the time mentioned here, 1st August 2011. Even if you wouldn't be able to take them now, but probably some indication and highlights of those. On the same page, raise funds for and construct heritage center. I'm not hearing whether you did manage to raise those funds. That's all I needed, you know, to know. On your page 3, second bullet from the bottom, provide training for certain staff members of Apartheid and Hector Peterson Museum. What could be a motivation for selected staff members, you know, for training that you wanted to provide? Page 4, your second bullet on your details of institution not declared in terms of the Cultural Institution Act. Second bullet from the bottom. 1820 Settlers Foundation, Grahamstown, and so on and so on. I'm just raising this, you know, there's slight concern that, you know, do we actually really need to still mention in our new South Africa what you call 1820 settlers? Who are those settlers? Because I think this is probably tinkling, though, really touching the, waking up the sleeping lions, and it may probably, you know, from my point of view, we don't have settlers here at all. We have buried all those settlers if they were. We are in New South Africa. And I just need, you know, some kind of a clarity. Do you think that we still need to have a mention of that kind? Same applies to the no grant for Blood River. Remember, we sought to Reconciliation Day, and, you know, this Blood River reminds many, and it would provoke sometimes some of the people, you know, either side. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Mushwan.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I also want to thank Mr. General Lopetna for this report, for the document in front of us, before I even go to my question. My first question actually was my colleague's last question. Why is there no grant for Blood River? And instead of repeating the question, one would like to check if the significance of Blood River is taken as less than the others, those that are getting grants. That was my question. And my second question, you are saying when things really go bad, you'll consider retrenchment as a last resort. I would urge and argue that should not be a resort at all, because people need to be employed, and when things go wrong, I don't think the people employed should take the blow. Maybe you need to come up with some strategy, I don't know what. You may even change the salaries, but retrenchment is not taking this country forward. And thirdly, I see that you are receiving this amount, but is it possible to know the sources, or are they from the same source? Because I see a list of amounts that the Fort Trekker Monument has been given, and perhaps we need to know the sources so that perhaps we can talk to them to fund even the other imported, equally imported the results that you don't maybe consider imported. And lastly, the Loose Trichard Association. I'm checking this Loose Trichard association that is thriving, if I remember correctly, Los Trichard, there was this very serious debate of Makado. Now, if you start to fund Los Trichard, how far will this thing go? Because we need to move. We need some paradigm shift, you know. Mm-hmm. And, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, General, for your presentation. Yes, you did so in the news, when the papers event versus your entity. But my question would be, Chairperson, what other income have this Fort Drakkar Monument that not only that you depend on this department? And what is your strategy and plan in the future? That what happened with you in 2011 will not actually happen again, or not, let us, Honorable Buswana was saying, know that we will actually only at the end of the day restraining people. Otherwise, you contradict what the President was saying in the State of the Nation address in 2011. And then another one will be, since the department was giving from 2003 to 2011 an increase to this entity, how many jobs did you create out of that? It will be very important. And what? How much is your workforce actually in the... Because I said to my colleague, I questioned to him, I said to him, what I see today, I was only thinking, is that monument and is that property that this entity have, what we saw nearby Freedom Park. But what I saw today, I said, no, it's not only that particular area, it's more broad. So for me, it's really interesting if we can have also a breakdown on that particular area, what the cost factor is and what the spending is. But I must also raise a concern to the department. You can never come on a last minute or two, decide, I don't know how the decision was taken, but we maybe were getting the answer, that if you increase this entity from 2003 with the pace, I don't know, is it 40% or 20%, but according I can read to the figures, you increase them every year until 2010. But in 2011, you took 853,500 rand away. So your pace that you have all the years is indifferent. That's what you actually was doing when you taking away. So obviously they really make a serious reservation, because then you're dealing with also what human being also there. You're supposed to, as the trend you increase, you're supposed in the trend to decrease backwards. Lastly, Chairperson, I think, Chairperson, to what we read here today, it will be also important, Chair, that we, as the MPs, also doing oversight. Yes, the President went there, but we, as the people who also doing, we have an oversight role to play as public reps. I think, for me, seeing is believing also, that we must maybe next year or before we our term finish, that we maybe must go to visit that particular area. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Mbunda.
Thank Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just have one quick or maybe a very approach sort of a question. Before the general could respond to the questions and comments by my colleagues, just share with us, because when I listen, it shows that this Fort Trigger and other, you know, foundations are non-declared. We might not have that information. We might not even know exactly when this kind of foundation or heritage foundation to be declared by the SARA or by the department, the requirements thereof, and what is it, the management thereof that they sit down and talk and discuss about so that it can be declared. One will just assume that probably the department will, or some other financial institution will be in the position to give grant or to assist financially for the maintenance and the rest of the thing in the foundation. Just to start from that little background so that you can be able to respond to all these other questions. I'm not taking you back. You might have discussed this with other members. I'm sorry for that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, Honourable Silva.
Thank you, Chair. I would like also to thank the General for this presentation. You speak of having, you know, migrated from the old South Africa to the new South Africa. When I look at the very first page, when the Fort Trigger Monument was inaugurated on the 18th of December 1949 and became Section 21 in 1993, when you count these years, almost 44 years, I'm just wondering what, didn't you have such an input also in the previous government to try and recognize that, because I think that it's a very important organ of, you know, the Fort Trigger Monument. I would imagine the previous government would have embraced it. I think that's all I just wanted to add to it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Major. I think my comments and just generally one question, though, that I will pose to the department is that, as you've heard the presentation, maybe where were the hiccups, because you can't even have an entity that comes and says they've been promised money but they never got it. I think it's a serious problem. I mean, if you have outstanding issues of over 5 years, I think it sends a wrong message maybe on our part. You see, I always say that I know if we continue like this, it will send a wrong message to say that there's a certain history that we recognize, there's a certain history that we don't recognize, you know. And at this point, I know Afrikaners are very sensitive, you know. They feel as though sometimes they're excluded from being part of our history. I'm not saying that we must fear anyone, but I'm saying there's always a sensitive so that we can have a balance on these issues as we do with this history. I thought I should raise this, Ms. Ndima, from your side, because if, you see, if you don't, and the mistake maybe that we always do is that we are used to giving entities this monies, and it's not a mistake. We have to support our history and our heritage. But I want to add to have bilaterals or agreements with tourism. You know, I'm raising. Sometimes tourism, I'm very sure they don't know what to do with their money and their budget, to be honest. And every time they promote South Africa, they promote via heritage, but they don't give. They don't assist the department. I think the department now must start to have, because every South African advert is about our heritage, our culture, but then they must start putting money as well. One thing that I would agree with you, although on Chakala put it in another way, you on the last slide that we have, really, you can't mix. Okay, not to say that you can't, you can't put them in one basket in terms of history, the settlers and the Africa. It's two different histories. I think I agree with you there. Which I assure you that this, South Africa is a diverse country. We've got a diverse a history, and there is no history of any culture or cultural group that must be written off. Even those who are abroad, they must know that when they come to South Africa, it speaks also to, do Africans believe in ancestors? Do you believe in ancestors? Do you believe in ancestors? Forefathers? Yes. So they must know where are their forefathers, you know, what happened in the history as well. You see? And as we always put it, also we must also be sensitive on how we put our history. That's why also on our side we try and put in our history. You see, the more you educate people about the history, the more people will understand. You know, that's why I know this is not a political forum. If some people would believe that, how do we say for trackers who were very cruel to us? But I know it's your history. That's why what I was saying to somebody, to say that it's your history, we must understand it. But also some minority groups must also understand our history and our songs that we sing. So I think it's an element of education to say that on the 16th is a Reconciliation Day, but it doesn't take out that on the 16th this is what happened. I think at some stage you must also have that education element. But I think I'll allow you to respond then, allow Mr. Ndima or Dr. Jokwen to respond.
See, thank you very much. I would like to thank all the members for their very decisive questions. I would like to respond to that very briefly, otherwise I'm going to take too much of Sarah's time. And as I said, we've got good relations with him. I don't want it to be bedeviled today. You referred to the Deputy President and he's concerned about the bridge to be built there. You know, there are many bridges. One is the psychological bridge that we can build by cooperating and talking about these things that we do today. I think we are constructing a bridge here today. But in real terms, then obviously there is the one that the interlinking road to the Frederick Monument, and said we are ready for that. We are eager to open it. We wanted to have it open before the World Soccer last year. But unfortunately, there were delays on the Freedom Park side, but we are ready any day. In fact, we have appointed certain personnel which we have since again had to dismiss because I had them at the gate, sitting there, manning the gate, but no vehicles going through the gate. And I couldn't justify that. That's a problem. But there's another bridge that we must also think about. You know, I know the gentleman referred to Blood River. Blood River is obviously a very emotional place for the Afrikaners in particular. I think if you ever do anything to interfere with Blood River, to try and deny or that part of history, you're going to have many people up in arms. And I think that it's better not to go and interfere with that part, because we respect the history of even around Blood River. There may be various versions, but Blood River is a fact. To try and deny that there was ever Blood River, that is just causing problems. But you know, Blood River and Ngome on either side of the river, and we have propagated, even whilst I was on the member of the council of the Umzinduzi Voortrekker Museum, that we should construct a physical bridge over that river so that people can go over the bridge to the other side instead of driving around through the veld and always having the river as that unbreachable boundary. But that takes money, but we are talking about that. Job creation, I agree with that. It's extremely important. That is why we are so concerned about not receiving the grant and the effect it's having on ordinary people. You know, we have always had the most amicable, the best possible labor relations in our situation. Now, for the first time, we've had the threat of a strike, obviously incited by the unions, because they said that the people are going to be retrenched. And I referred this to the department, and I said, you know, it's a problem. In fact, at one of the meetings, one of the few meetings I've had the privilege to attend at the DAC on an occasion, I actually said that, you know, you must realize that we are paying our people virtually below the breadline in some cases, because we don't have the advantage of the grant as other people can. I've mentioned this. In some cases, the declared institutions the employees get up to three times the salaries what our people get. Even yesterday, one of my young staff members resigned, and she's going to work at another site for five times her present salary. My activist has resigned. She's going to get twice her salary that she got with us. Now, that causes major disruptions for us. That's why we talk about the national retreat. We have people leaving because they can go and get better salaries elsewhere. And we respect that. If we say that if we've trained you, we've made you proud of what you know and your capacity, and you can do better, go and do it. But it's causing very severe problems for us as far as the maintenance of knowledge and skills are concerned. See, I would have liked to speak much about the challenges and the achievements. In fact, I could speak about that at length. But within the very limited time constraints we have here today, I decided to take only a few out of that. If I may talk about some of the challenges that are involved with being an undergraduate institution, I think one of the challenges is that you obviously are lower down the rung of priorities. We are not that important to the department as the declared institutions are. Therefore, it's very difficult for us to get interviews. It's very difficult for us to get feedback. It's difficult for us to get action. But I'm not here today to try and embarrass the department, but we are talking about the real facts. But that, in that way, I could carry on telling you about the difficulties of being an undergraduate institution. One of the big things is that you don't have the money. You have to work to get the money to be able to do your things. So I'll come back to your question about where the funds come from. You asked about the Heritage Foundation, Chair. We've actually collected the 13 million rand for that Heritage Foundation. We got 4 million from the state. The other 9 million we got from the private sector. That Heritage Foundation is fully paid. So that is one of the, why I say, one of the big achievements. We also set a target for ourselves to raise 2 million rand for the Research Trust. We have raised that. We've got that on investment, and we only use the revenue from the investment to fund research assignments. So we try and limit our bank credit as far as possible. Obviously, we cannot run to the department and say, we are so much short, you must increase our fund. We are trying to get our money, the grant, I'm saying our, because we believe it is, the president, as we said, it's now become a legitimate expectation. But, you know, if we run short, we must go to the bank and we must go and loan money, borrow money there. At the bank, so that is our last resort of funding. I'll come back to the funding because another member asked a question about that. The training for the apartheid and the Hector Peterson Museum, we have actually trained the staff working in the archives. And we have done that. We have invited them. I've personally visited those museums also as part of the bridge building, and we said that whenever we can contribute in any way, whether it's take some of their staff to also give them exposure on the outside, to give them specific scientific training, we are willing to cooperate. And for any organization that would like to be involved with us, as far as that's concerned. So with due respect, I'm not going to comment on, Chair, on the use of the word settlers or not. I know the word settler can be very offensive in a certain context, but in the other context, it's a historic fact. There were 1820 settlers as a community, and you also referred to that very important part of history, and I don't think we can deny that part of it. Brother, is, as I said, is an extremely important emotionally situation, and we must realize there's an enormous on the other side, there's a brother of this side, but the two together form the one common battlefield in history. I've seen that in many parts of the world. In Scotland, for instance, you go to a battlefield at Inniskillen, and then you walk from the one position to the other position and say, this is how our soldiers saw the situation, this is how they saw it, and together we look at this and we understand history better. We cannot understand history better by just trying to destroy something as emotive as 1820 Butterworth. I think, in fact, that Butterworth should have been, they should have received a grant over many years, but they haven't received that. And we, in fact, from the Voortrekker Monument side, we have been giving them some money from our grant to just support them. But even that way, we have to support Blatter with about 160,000 rand per year just to get to a break-even situation. But that's what we do to try and support the situation. I would like to come back to the question about the retrenchment. I agree that retrenchment should not be an option. We don't want to do that. That's why I say it's a very, very last situation. But before we come to retrenchment, we have to explore all the other avenues, like having a look at salaries. But you must realize that if we already pay our people a third of what the employees at the credit institutions get, it's very difficult to negotiate with them an even lower salary. And it becomes to the critical stage where you just cannot do anything more. But we don't want to retrench people. I think that is why we say, let's look at other possible solutions to the problem. We don't want to retrench people. All the amounts mentioned here on this slide, those are only the grants that we have received from the Department of Arts and Culture. It used to be in this period from 2003 to 2010, it used to be about 16% of our total operational income. If I can just break it down, we get about 55% of our total operational revenue from tourism, about 15-16% from government. At the moment it's about 7%, which will increase the percentage of the tourism unless we can address this situation. Then we buy niches in our Garden of Remembrance for the conservation of human remains, cremated human remains, about 6%. We have certainly outsourced facilities on our site, in restaurants, conference centers, about 11%. We have to collect money, fundraising, about 11% per year. And then we have some net profit on our sales, about 4%. That gives you about the 100% operational revenue of the Voortrekker Monument as such. I hope that point is clear. See, this is only the portion that we got from the state, and that is why we are talking about the 1.9 million that we had we've been expecting for this year. The Louis Trichardt Association, it has nothing to do with Makadu or the Louis Trichardt town. It's a Voortrekker leader who moved with his people, and eventually the most of them died in Maputo, and where they died and where their graves have been rediscovered, that's where this commemorative garden is. So that is the leader, he and his family, they've been buried there. And Chair, may I say that this is, I think, an example, a lesson for us in South Africa. During all the years of the war, where forces of South Africa and Mozambique were involved, President Machel himself ordered his people never ever to vandalize that graveyard in any way. Even now, it is an example of how graveyards should be maintained. We do it from South Africa, but with local support in Maputo. But I think that gives you a good idea of what can be done, how important heritage conservation is for them. And I think we must learn a lesson from that, also as far as our own heritage is concerned. I'm afraid I cannot read my handwriting here. It was somebody referred about other services. If I can get my glasses in, I will be able to read, but somebody asked a question about services, other services. I'll get my glasses out now. I think you asked the question about that, because you followed that up with the question about the strategy and the plan for the future. We have, every year we have a full strategic planning cycle. It starts now. Last night we had our audit meeting, committee meeting. They gave certain guidelines for planning. This will now eventually we'll have our submission of our annual strategy to our board of directors, and we look at all the critical points. I'm very glad about what I heard today about the importance you attach to tourism, because last night that was one of the critical points of guidelines for our planning for next year. We'll have to have a very comprehensive planning cycle about what we can do to optimize the tourism, because if we get 55 to 60% now, that's where the big money lies. Can we not make it 65 or 70%? Then we will be less dependent on the state for a grant. So this is a critical aspect. How many jobs created? As I said, in 2000, we had 27 jobs, 27 posts, and now we have 100 posts. And that's spread over 10 areas nationwide. So we have a minimum people. I'm going to use my own case as an example. For 12 years, I've been the CEO of the Voortrekker Monument, Section 21 company, the CEO of the Voortrekker Monument Projects Property Limited, the CEO of the Voortrekker Monument Trust, the CEO of the Heritage Foundation, the CEO of the Research Trust, the Chairman of the Ebo Trust, the Chairman of the Paul Kruger Trust, and also the Chairman of the Association with Trichardt. Now, I did all that and supervising 10 areas on the salary of one person, which is less than half of what the CEO of Freedom Park gets per year. And this is the situation of all our staff. We really have to do our utmost and without the compensation, but we do it because we are proud. We've got the work ethics to do it, and we want to make a success of that. Chair, with due respect, I think the rest of the points are actually addressed to Mr. Ndima and not to me, so perhaps I should not attempt to answer that on his behalf. Thank you very much, Chair. I'm sorry, the second page, I just come back to that, yeah. I think a critical, I'll come back to that one. It just I'm sorry, there were some others here. A question between the difference between declared and non-declared institutions. Somebody asked about that. I'll come back to that one last time, because I think that is really a very important question. All I would like to say, I think it's imperative that the department makes a cost analysis of what it costs to subsidize, to give a grant to these six non-declared institutions compared to what it would cost to grant, to declare them as cultural institutions, because I think it's going on a comparative basis, it might be even as much as 10 times more expensive, because then obviously you have to give so much more money to staff them according to all the requirements of the PMFA, and that's going to be cost much, much more expensive. I think some of them should not be declared, become declared institutions. For instance, the Louis Trichardt Association in Maputo. I virtually do the job on my own. We can just incorporate that in the declared heritage institute, because we must look at how we can cut costs and not make it more. But I think a proper cost analysis of declaration versus non-declaration, non-declared grants should be considered. May I say, I think it's imperative if I may just mention this. We must remember that we are talking about two types of declaration. Our conservation status has been upgraded to that of a National Grade 1 Heritage Site this year. And it would be extremely ironic if the Voortrekker Monument has to go down financially in the year in which it has been upgraded to a Grade 1 National Heritage Site. It's the only Afrikaans heritage site that has been declared a Grade 1 National Site since 1994. And I think that's a very big achievement, and I would like to thank my colleague here for what they've done to expedite, to fast-track it at the end. But that's a different sort of thing. We are actually talking about declaration in terms of the Cultural Institutions Act, which is another form of, it entails control and funding and oversight, etc. Now, I would like to come back to your question about in the previous dispensation, 44 years. I would like to make an admission. I think the Voortrekker Monument has been misused for political purposes during the previous dispensation, because it had such a tremendous appeal on the Afrikaner nationalism. And that obviously led to the stigmatization. It's part of the reasons why we have to do active marketing to break down the image of it being an icon of apartheid, which it was never supposed to be, or legitimacy, so that we don't have the threat against its survival in the community. I think we've made tremendous success in that. But until 1993, the government of the day did certain things, just as the government of today does in the light of what they fund. As President has said yesterday, the government are the representatives of the people who have been voted into a position that they have to account to them. I can only tell you that in 1994 I was still in the Defence Force. I was then responsible for the whole communication process of the integration of the seven constituent forces into the National Defence Force. And I only left the Defence Force in 1996, so I was also a general in the National Defence Force. So I very much played a very prominent role in the integration of the forces and the coming back of MK and all the other forces as well. And I think that's why I better understand how this happens. But unfortunately, we cannot turn the wheel of history back. But I think the important thing is to look at what lessons have we learned from the past, how does it impact on our present, and how do we prepare, use that to prepare for a better future in our country. And that is why I'm saying that the Voortrekker Monument is a positive change agent. And we see that we must work now, and especially with youth and other populations group, to get together and to prepare ourselves, to position ourselves better for a better future in our country. So things went wrong in that period from 49 until 93-94. Since then, we've been trying to address it, but we have the problem that we have to address perceptions, and perceptions is very difficult to address. You know, Winston Churchill said, perceptions are facts, are facts, are facts. And it's very difficult to change perceptions. And that is basically the challenge that we have in this regard. I hope I have answered that question. About your question about the bilateral agreement with the tourism, I fully support that. I think it's essential. What we have done is we have actively marketed, for instance, the Heritage Foundation as a tourist destination, also abroad. But it's difficult to market one destination if your country is not represented at that tourism exhibition. If your province is not there, if your city is not there, you know, then you get to the situation where people come to you and say, listen, we want to come to Africa, but we want to see the pyramids, and then we want to go to the Serengeti. And can we fit the Voortrekker Monument into that itinerary? And then I say, no, you can't do it. You can't come to South Africa to come and see the Voortrekker Monument. But if you come to South Africa, you must see the Voortrekker Monument. And this is, at this stage, I think, the important point. If we look at our visitors from abroad, we get about three times more visitors from China than from any other country. Second most is Germany, third most France, then the rest of Europe. The Netherlands is about in the seventh position. One would think that they would have more historic ties. But the best paying visitors we have, most, are coming from China. So we support very active promotional activities in China. We can do with their support.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
So China is even taking over our heritage now. It's a major general. My problem now is that we've eaten our time. What? Because some of the things, maybe we can just say, just for because I know Mr. Ndimo want to ask on a few things. Can we agree that you are going to meet? Can I am I solving the problem? Because I know it will. They did not even prepare for you because I'm the one who just allowed you to so that we can have an understanding as portfolio committee what is going on. But also I think I will agree with Honorable Moss, we must go and visit these institutions because you see we are still a new dawn of democracy. We will always say so some of those things we don't want to find ourselves in the offensive. Also to advise to say, you see, this is where we can assist you. As I said, our history is very important to all of us, and you have never heard that hacking any history. But I think our the oversight is more important on these areas that you have given. We might not do all of them, but just have an understanding of what is it. Because you see also as government, we must not also be careful on some of these issues because people might say you are funding this, you are not finding this. So if you have bridges within, then it's something else that how do you I'll make an example. It might not be the case, but in my thinking is that if you speak about the, I know it's sensitive, say the blood river, how do you on that day reconcile with the other people on the other side of the bridge? So that's what we are really talking about, to say that the history is there, but how do you move forward from the history? Like, before 94, I would never go to the moon. What? For example, me. I would never ever go there. You know, you see, though we in our history, we must also change perception. I must be able to go to the Voortrekker Monument and say this is part of our history. I must be able to go to the to Mozambique and say those who died of, was it malaria or something?
Yes.
On the trek, it was malaria. It was Sisyphus, and then what is that? Sisyphus. I remember that that history. I must be able to go and see. Say, this is my history. I might not have agreed with it, but it's still part of our history and part of our heritage. That's why I'm saying those bridges are very important to us. And thank you also for coming on board. We will, as much as you will meet Mr. Ndima and the department, on our side as well as a committee, these are the issues that we need to discuss without the presence of entities. But the ministers and deputies will also be aware of what we have raised as well on some of the issues as well. I don't know. I think I'm summarizing it in the right way so that we, Sarah will be angry with us. We've eaten an hour of their time. But I think it was very important for us as well to hear your side as well on some of these issues. And I think I really appreciate it that you really came here and in that short notice that you've agreed upon both. I had to, you know, to listen to the other issues. And one thing that I can request with all these foundations, don't make the African history your history only and persevere and close it for others. That's what is happening. You see, and it's the truth that it's the truth. You close it so that some of our people don't know. You close these places as if they are yours only. They don't belong to other cultural groups, you know. It's like when I visit, I would want to see it's a stigma for some, you know. You must open this for us so that in other generations can see what is happening. Also teach them about the other Freedom Park, teach them about the other, the health care. At least you are involved with all this. I'm happy that you are raising the issue of employment. It becomes very important to us. Really, we don't want to see retrenchments. And I like your honesty to say that the people will be affected are the poorest of the poorest. And that's the truth, because when you start retrenching, you start from the ground. And as I'm looking at your slide also, you from 27 to 100 jobs, that means you are developing. As I'm saying that, we have to meet the department and then Mr. Chowin, Mr. Ndima, am I summarizing correctly?
Sure. Honorable Chair, I think you have summarized it correctly.
Okay.
There will be a bilateral.
Okay. And tourism. Don't leave tourism out. Okay. Thank you, Major General. We will release you and then we'll give over to Sarah and then anything you can talk to us.
Thank you for answering the question. I couldn't read that because I was too put that
one. Oh, okay. Okay, thanks a lot.
But the paper doesn't answer you.
Sarah, are you ready? Are you doing presentation? Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Somadu Lafikeni, the chairperson of
Sarah Council. There's something. I must welcome you before. Let's just wait a bit. Are you ready? Are you ready to do them? On the slide?